Before we get to tonight's Survivor Know-It-Alls, after episode number 3 of Survivor David versus Goliath, I want to take a moment and thank one of our sponsors tonight, our friends over at True Car, who have some useful tips that you might not be aware of, like how a coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean the interior of your car. You could also remove the excess weight from your car to improve its gas mileage, get you all the way to slam town and back, and you can place your keychain remote right underneath your chin to increase its range. All weird tips. Here's a tip that's not so weird. True Car can help you get a great deal on a used car as well. What? Yes, that's right. True Car is not just for buying a new car. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience, whether you buy new or used. And with True Car, you can see what other people paid, so you'll know if you're getting a good deal before you buy. And you'll also be more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience when you connect with a True Car certified dealer. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yes, that is right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back here. Traditional Survivor Know-It-All, Stephen Fishback.
Oh my God, what a terrible day today has been. First, the S&P drops 3%, and then we have Jeremy voted out. Now, I'll tell you why Jeremy is like...
You're going to tell me about why the S&P dropped.
He's like a tech stock, Rob. He seems to be great. He seems to have all the goods, but he's a little bit overhyped. And today we had a market correction in the Jeremy camp.
This was a market correction. Wow. Yeah. I am blindsided. I was not expecting financial news here from
I thought
Stephen
Jeremy,
Fishback.
Nor was I. I was not expecting Jeremy to go home. I really thought we had a long-term character in him, and I'm dazed and confused.
I was not happy. You know, yeah. I really did not like the direction that we were headed when it was like, oh, it's going to be either Jeremy or Natalie. What?
Oh, there's so many people on that tribe that I would be happy to lose. And why did it have to be one of them?
Well, that's what I said last week, where it's like, okay, yeah, great. There's this six, but I like all the people that are not in the six.
Yeah, like John is in the six.
John is in the six, fine. Yeah. But I didn't say anything. I dislike the six, but I like all the people that the six would target.
Oh, gosh. Well, this really, I mean, it's such a big character. Obviously a fan of this show. This incredible, heartwarming story. You know, he seemed to care so much about being there. It's just terrible. It's just terrible.
Okay, so we'll break all that down and everything else from tonight's episode here as we discuss episode number 3 of Survivor David versus Goliath on the Survivor Know-It-Alls. Rob Cicerino and Stephen Fishback are back here with you guys live after the episode for, believe it or not, the first time this season. Last week we were together in person. So wonderful to get to see you last week, Stephen.
Yeah, it was such a great that live show. It was our best live show, and they just keep getting better.
We can only go downhill from here.
Yeah. I feel like there's a little bit. It's like the market. You know, we're going to go down, but then we'll come back up again in the future.
You seem very fixated on the stock market tonight, Stephen.
It's been a big day.
A big day or a bad day?
Well, both. A big bad day.
All right.
I like that you have, as the show is starting, it's a spoiler. We will be talking about tonight's episode of Survivor. Like, if you signed into this podcast not knowing that you were going to hear about tonight's episode,
that you don't know how social media works, that people are waiting to jump on you for anything that, you ruined my experience. You ruined it for me.
You ruin my experience all the time.
Hey, come on. Come on now. We're doing so well so far this season. Steven, so much to get into. Hashtag RHAP. Scott St. Pierre is standing by to get your questions into the show later on in this episode of Survivor Know-It-Alls. I will speak with Jeremy tomorrow morning, and I'm not happy about it because I wanted him to still be on my TV. He was so much fun to watch. We'll talk about everything going on with him and the Goliath tribe here tonight and much more. But exit interview coming tomorrow. And then I have Eric Reichenbach, who I'm going to actually be speaking to tonight on the recap podcast. So
back to back. Well, I just love saying that.
That's how my night is going to be. And I'm going to talk with Eric later on tonight. And then Tyler Fredrickson is going to be here in the studio this weekend.
Is this the first T. Freddy appearance on the podcast since he was voted out?
He was on the voicemails last season, and people were very pleasantly surprised.
He's great. He knows the show so well. He's so enthusiastic. He's such like a positive, like he's always like so upbeat and happy. Just love him.
Upbeat and happy. Wow.
He's always just like such like a great positive force for life.
Tyler Fredrickson.
Yeah. Is that not how he is? Okay. He's just so nice. He's the nicest guy.
Voicemails, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
All right. He'll be here in studio for the first time on over the weekend. So we'll get that podcast to you. And of course, the Wiggle Room coming up. Jam-packed Survivor Week. But Steven, let's get into this because it seemed like it all came crashing down, much like the S&P 500 for Jeremy.
Yeah, it really did. It seemed like things were going really well. And I'm wondering, do you think that the turn... You know, obviously everyone is all over this beach scheming. And, you know, last week we talked about all of these pairs that were kind of forming up and Jeremy was with Mike. And then, you know, you had Dan with Kara and you know, it seemed like John with Angelina. And you just kind of had these groups sort of breaking off. Do you think the turning point for Jeremy really was when he sat everybody down and said, guys, there's too much strategizing happening here? Or do you think that was just the symptom of a bigger problem for him?
I think it was more of a symptom of the bigger problem. If I had to pinpoint exactly when things went wrong, and I think that there is an exact point, I think it was when he revealed the truth about Dan having the idol. Because I believe that when we see Angelina talking about how this is it, the trust is gone from him, and Dan is right there sitting next to her like, yeah, it seemed like those are the people pushing for Jeremy to be going home. And I think that once it turned into, hey, we need to flush this idol, I think that that's when that core group at the heart of that six said, hey, we're going to go ahead and we need to push to get Jeremy out.
Oh, that's really interesting. So you feel like they were protecting their idol and their little alliance.
Yes.
And,
people that started that six were the women. And we saw that Natalia was actually pushing for Natalie to still go, which really furthers your theory, Stephen, about that people with similar names cannot exist in one tribe.
The Highlander strategy, there can be only one.
There can only be one. But yeah, I felt like that. Once I saw that Dan was really backing up Angelina on that, I think that it was the talk of the idol was the biggest problem for Jeremy.
Yeah. I mean, it just seemed that's a really interesting point. I actually hadn't thought of it from that point of view. And we didn't really get any confessionals along those lines, but I do think you're probably right that had a really big part to play. Yep. You know, I just think generally... You know, probably people see Jeremy scheming a lot. He's obviously, you know, he's a big fan. He gets out there. He wants to play the game really hard. And, you know, he wants to do it all. He wants to, you know, he wants to catch fish. He wants to like search in people's bags. You know, he wants to, you know, have all the conversations. But then also, you know, similar to what we saw with Gabby last week, you know, these fans who know the show super well get very, you know, they know the strategic conversations that they're having. And they get very paranoid about the strategic conversations that other people are having. And it all kind of was of a piece, right? Like him sitting people down and saying, don't strategize. like he's the only one who can strategize. Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought that there was some wisdom in what he was trying to do, because I think that he was trying to, you know, stop the bleeding in terms of the people might have been talking about him. John Hennigan pointed out, yes, I think it was self-serving that he wanted everybody to stop talking and just worry about the tribe. And I think that maybe coming from a different person, maybe that message would have been received better by the tribe. But I think that then once he was talking about, hey, let's not have these side conversations, but then he himself was then been having those side conversations, talking about, hey, guess what? Look, who has the idol? I found it when I was going through his stuff. I think that that really, really hurt Jeremy in terms of somebody that the group felt good about.
Yeah, I mean, you never want to be the bossy person, right? You never want to be the one saying this is how you can or can't play this game. You know, you should never be lecturing people on their behaviors. And that's true of lecturing them around camp like Natalie is doing. And it's true of lecturing them strategically like Jeremy seemed to be doing. And I do really think that Jeremy and Natalie are kind of like the two opposite sides of this coin of what not to do. You know, on the one hand, you have Jeremy who's like out of the gate, like trying to be everywhere and do everything. And then the other hand, you kind of have Natalie who's just doing nothing.
I don't think that Jeremy was terribly bad. I think no. that he was, that he had moments that were not great, but under a different set of circumstances, I think that he could have gotten through this.
Well, a lot of what happened, right, was honestly like the Angelina thing. Like to me, it seemed like she wanted to make a move more than she even like wanted to get Jeremy out. You know, she like proving herself as a Goliath. And what a great talker she is. And she gets discounts at restaurants from being such a smooth talker. Which I'm still confused about. You gotta explain this to me. And I want to talk to you though about, is this a good move for Angelina? Is this the right move for her? And is it the right move for the tribe?
So I think in the short term that this was an effective move for her. And I agree with her thesis that Jeremy is the much more dangerous player in the game than Natalie was. But, you know, and we'll circle back to what went on last week with Gabby and Jessica. There seemed to be no evidence that Jeremy was targeting Angelina. Perhaps he was looking to target Dan, who was an ally of Angelina. And, you know, but he would have been happy to go along with Natalie as a person that they would have gotten rid of. I think that what Angelina did was not particularly great either, because I saw way too much of in the group setting, which is something that Jeremy himself did. Okay, here's the plan. I want to get rid of Jeremy. We saw in Game Changers, Sierra Easton ends up being the first person to get voted out because she ends up, you know, throwing a name out in a group. And yes, it landed for Angelina this week, but I think that those conversations should be had in the one-on-one as opposed to really sort of dictating what the tribe is going to do next in a group setting.
Yeah, and even her body language, sometimes we'd see her with her arms would be crossed, you know, and it just, you know, it really did seem like, you know, it did seem like she, like, not so much that she was smooth talking people into coming around to her position, but that she was really like muscling the tribe into this verdict. And it worked, like you're saying, but I agree that I think that there's way too much, you know, it shows her to be way too forceful a person, and it's very easy for there to be a backlash later. You know, there was certainly a few swing people like Mike who you know, may really not have appreciated that. I mean, I was thinking of Shireen in Cambodia, you know, who really forced this, she got this Vita's vote through on her, you know, in the first vote. And then she was the second person gone because, you know, she had shown herself to be this big player. And you got to watch out for that really, really early.
That being said, it was a 9-1 vote. Everybody got on board. Saw there was some pushback from Mike, pushback from Natalia, pushback from Alec. There were a lot of people that were not sure that this was the right way to go, but ultimately everybody did get on board with this decision.
I just wonder, you know, it's almost like splitting hairs between, you know, right? Like, is Natalie better for me in the long term versus is Jeremy better for me in the long term, right? On the one hand, you have Natalie, who people don't really like, but she's also not going to be out there plotting against me. On the other hand, you have Jeremy, who's very smooth and charming. Like, is he going to create alliances against me? So hard to predict. The one thing you can know for sure is that by really stepping forward into that prominent role in the tribe, you're putting yourself out there and you're putting a target on yourself. So I think that the incremental difference between like whether it was better to eliminate Natalie or better to eliminate Jeremy is dramatically outweighed by like how bad it was for her to really take this forceful stance so early in the game.
Now, one thing that really was not part of the episode, but when you factor in the stuff from the preseason, you know, we've seen Angelina very focused on she wants to get this women's alliance going. Jeremy told Josh Wiggler in the preseason, and Jeremy is a super perceptive guy. He says, hey, I am very concerned about there being a women's alliance forming in this season. I just wonder if he had that concern going on, and of course we don't get to see everything, was he sort of hyper aware about the formation of a women's alliance, and was he standoffish with Angelina perhaps, and she identified him as somebody who wasn't willing to play ball with what she was trying to do?
Yeah, I think that's a really good, and interesting observation. I didn't know that, and certainly you can see kind of, trust clusters form at Ponderosa pregame, where people do seem to gravitate towards each other. And
I thought they were voting blocks.
Well, not at Ponderosa, they're not.
Okay. Is trust clusters?
That's where the trust clusters are, yeah. And that impact on the game can be marginal sometimes, and it can be significant in others. And maybe that seems to really be manifesting here.
Okay. For Natalie, she gets to move on to another week on the show, and we're all very happy about that. She has been really dynamic through three episodes of this season. Did Natalie, Stephen, do anything particularly well, or was she just blessed by the group wanting to get rid of Jeremy?
It did seem like the prime thing, right? The prime mover here was Angelina in terms of saving Natalie, perhaps to a fault. But you got to give Natalie credit. I mean, even last episode, when she was going person to person and saying, what are you doing targeting the person who's the weakest? She laid the groundwork last episode that, it didn't make sense to target her. And here you're seeing it bear fruit. So I don't think you can't totally say it was just Angelina when Natalie really did, and we saw her going person to person. She was hustling this week, even asked Jeremy to step away so she could have a group conversation about him.
Yeah, it was a pretty tense conversation. I actually thought that Natalie was pretty strong at tribal council as well. I know that nobody changed their vote based on what was going on at the tribal council. But in terms of what we saw at tribal council, I think if I was going to be scoring the debate between Jeremy and Natalie at tribal council, I thought that she came across as the more stable presence in the group. And maybe she had already gotten the assurances, hey, don't worry, it's going to be Jeremy, and she was more calm, where Jeremy adopted the more hyper frenetic persona.
Right.
But I didn't think it was great for him to say, hey, I know that if you died and none of these people would go to your funeral, but all nine would be at my funeral. And I thought that he came across a little more aggressive towards her. And I thought that she was just a little more, still and not as aggressive in battling back with Jeremy.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, it did seem, I thought it was a great tribal council, but I agree. I think she came off. I mean, he misplayed a couple of key things, right? Like also when Natalie approached him earlier and said, please don't vote for me, he kind of just dismissed her out of the gate. You don't have the support. Sorry, you're done.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah, because we talk about this a lot, where the answer on Survivor is always yes. That he could have said to her, Natalie, let me see what I can do. There's no miracles, but let me talk to some people. But he kind of gave her, closed the door in her face.
Yeah, and it really seemed just that they're, for whatever reason, those two. I mean, I've played with people who it was impossible to get along with. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, it's just an oil and water thing where, the two people just, like, no matter how hard you want to, you just can't connect. But they really just could not connect with each other.
We even had that scene in last week's episode where he went to her and said, hey, let's talk about this. We have this kinship. And let me just tell you here are some things I'm observing. And she did not want that piece of coaching from him. She got upset with him, and that really turned him off. You almost wonder, had she been more receptive to him in last week's episode, maybe they could have worked together and, gotten something else going.
But either way, I agree with you that it did seem that core six really did seem to be driving kind of where the vote went. And then the sort of outlying four didn't have a huge role.
Yeah. Stephen, I want to go back and talk to you about what's going on in the David tribe, because I thought that things took an interesting turn this week where, you know, we came out of last week's episode where we had the blind side of Jessica and we got to see Carl, Davey, and B all pretty upset about how that went down. And we saw Nick and Christian have a conversation, and it seemed as though Nick is, you know, really relishing this idea of throwing Gabby under the bus. And I'm not sure exactly how much he feels like, okay, well then I will, you know, this will free Christian up so he can only be with me. But do you feel like, is Nick overplaying this?
I actually think this is a good move for now. Also, at the start of the episode, we saw Christian do the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought that was not as good a move for Christian, but I think it's a great move for Nick. You know, it ingratiates Nick back into the main group, mm-hmm. right? With Davey, B, and Carl. He still has Christian on the side. And I think it's not a bad thing to get rid of your allies' other alliances. Then you're their main loyalty. You don't want your allies having like other better allies. So I actually really like this move by Nick. And I thought he's doing a great job of it. You know, I remember on the raft when he was saying something like, I was just so scared by how quickly Gabby could turn the vote. I was just so surprised, you know, rather than making that rational argument of like, Gabby's very, you know, strategic, we got to get rid of her. Just like emphasizing his own fear is such a great way to provoke that same question in everybody else.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, hindsight is 20/20, but for Gabby, we were all on board. This was a good move for Gabby last week, but she was in a comfortable position in this group. And now she got a lot of blood on her hands to get rid of Jessica on that last vote. Looking back, Stephen, could that have been maybe a little bit more too aggressive of a move to make on the first vote for the David tribe?
Yeah, I mean, I do think there's that element of like just do a consensus vote early, but also like if, you know, the consensus vote works for like, you know, it works for four people or five people, but it doesn't work for the other three who are on the bottom of that group. And I actually think it made sense. I still think it made sense for Gabby to do it, certainly after she kind of got that brush off from B and Jessica. But, you know, I think the problem here is in the post-boot narrative where, you know, certainly you have Christian, you have Nick coming out and saying, wow, Gabby did that. Well, you know, I think it's less about the actual move itself than everyone sort of pinning the blame on her. You know, the thing that I always say is the best thing to do after a boot is you blame the person who you just evicted because they can't say anything. You say like, you know, the thing you should always say in basically every single vote is, oh my gosh, it was Jessica. She was playing the game too hard. She was strategizing up and down the shore. We had to do something. We got rid of her. You know, it was the only thing we could do for the sake of our tribe, to keep our tribe strong. And, you know, even if B and Carl and Davey don't believe you entirely, you know, there's nothing Jessica can say to refute that. And they kind of just have to accept it. So, you know, but as soon as the narrative becomes about Gabby, so, you know, then yeah, like retroactively, should Gabby have not done something with two people who were going to sell her out immediately afterwards? Like, yeah, that I can agree with.
So Christian is the person in the middle of this triangle between himself and Nick and Gabby. Who would he side with if it came down to, if that David group went to tribal council and then you had Carl and Davey and B and now Nick potentially pushing for Gabby to go home in this 8-person tribe?
I mean, I said it last week, Rob, I'm going to say it again. Gabby should have given that alliance a name. You know, we see Christian in this episode talking about Mason Dixon, and we see him sell out Gabby to Davey. So I think he's siding with Nick. And
I think he sides with Gabby. It looks like we're going to mix up the tribes next week, but otherwise I'd say let's put the knowing is know-it-all on the line.
But how would we even do that?
Like, it's going to be tough now.
Yeah.
But I think I got the sense that based on what he did last week, I thought he went to Nick and was pushing for that because of that's what Gabby wanted.
Well, I do think it was, yeah, sure. But like that's not having him choose between two allies. That's having him, you know, support one ally through, you know, leveraging the other one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This would be, you know, we'll see if there's a way for this to play. I guess based on if they end up on some sort of, if they end up together again, I guess we'll see maybe if this comes to fruition. But I think that Gabby is his number one.
I don't know. I mean, also like Christian last week, you know, he had said that he felt on the outs, right? So he had already felt on the outs of the decision-making process in that tribe. So I don't think it was just like he was doing a favor for Gabby. He was also self-interested in that move.
Mm-hmm. And it would have been potentially 4-4 if they would have gone to a tribal council. So I wonder exactly how that might have played out.
Yeah.
Unless you're saying that you think that Christian would have voted with Nick and voted against Gabby.
If they'd gone to tribal council this week,
yes.
I would not be surprised if that happened.
I would have been very surprised if that was the case. But I guess we'll see how the tribes shape up. I don't want to get too much into this, but are you surprised that there's already going to be some sort of a mix up?
I was surprised by how fast that was. I mean, I guess it's typically around now, right?
Usually four Heroes versus Heels versus Hustlers. They did it after three episodes, but I'm surprised they've never done it this early in a one versus one type season.
Yeah, I am surprised by that, and I'm kind of excited by it too. You know, A, keeps things fresh, keeps people on their toes, and B, we were already starting to see kind of how these tribes were sort of ossifying around these alliances. So it'll be fun to mix it up, and you know, the show this season has done such a great job of introducing us to all of the characters that it'll be, you know, kind of fun to see what happens now. Sometimes you're like, I don't care about six of these people, like I have no idea what's going to happen to them, but every one of these guys is close to me, except Allison, who I barely know.
Dr. Allison, she was in the mix tonight. She was, you know, we saw her being told about the plan to vote against Jeremy.
Yeah, she was told about a plan. That's true. You know who I really like, though, is John. John is the all-star, isn't he? John Hennigan is he's the standout.
No, he's been very good. A lot of screen time. We see that he's even getting screen time on the David Tribe. The David Tribe is talking about him. I mean, how often do we see that?
Slamtonians. It's great. We see the John Christian team up would be the dream, truly, with Natalie, of course, as the third, and Nick. That's my fantasy, the alliance. I mean, just his whole thing about how, you know, it's more about building connections and bonding, and I really liked how he kind of like tied it back into, hey, we're winning a lot, there's a lot of good vibes over here, and I kind of want to leverage that to really make connections with people, because I think I've actually ever heard anyone articulate that, just the sort of different dynamics of being on the winning tribe and how you can kind of like leverage those dynamics.
Steven, editing is a wonderful thing, because if you came back to the tribe with that fish that John Hennigan caught, that I don't know if it would have been presented the same way.
Yeah, the goofy music, like the wah, wah.
That was not that great of a fish.
Yeah, it was a pretty small fish, but
maybe John Hennigan is so massive it made
that's
the fish
what I was
look small.
That's exactly what I think.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe like if Mike White was carrying that fish, it would have been like, oh, okay, that's pretty good.
Flounder. Yeah. But I also like, even when he was talking to Angelina, you know, John said, "What did you think of Jeremy's, sitting us all down over there?" And you know, then Angelina says what she thinks, and John says, "Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say to you." You know, he doesn't, which I really like, and this is a great skill, you know, for everybody in any situation on Survivor. Don't give your opinion first; ask the other person for their opinion.
He also had a joke at Tribal Council, which I know it sounds like it's nothing, but everybody laughed at his joke. And that is, you know, that's how you can tell when, you know, you're going over well in the room. Like he didn't get like courtesy laughs. Like he got a good laugh from the group. So he is polling well in that Goliath tribe.
Yeah, I've got John Hennigan. I mean, yeah, I'm excited about him in the long term here.
Okay, Steven, I want to ask you about one medical situation, and then we'll get into taking some questions from our live audience here tonight. B had an issue in the challenge. She hurt her knee, had to get checked out by medical, returned to camp in a bandage. What is your long-term prognosis on B's health standing in the game?
A prognosis negative. I think you don't have the confessional back at camp, you know, you don't and the sort of like little side thing, if that's not going to be something significant down the road.
It was ominous that they, I mean, maybe let's put our historians on this, where what is the history of having things checked out? I feel like that maybe in Ko Rong, I want to say maybe Aubrey had something checked out by the doctors, but then she was able to make it through. But I kind of feel like that it's got to be like 80-90% at least, that if they're telling us that the doctor is checking something out, chances are it's ultimately going to go in a bad direction.
Yeah, I don't have long-term hope for B. As Shireen tweeted, the bee's knees.
She's yes, bee's and Puya. And Puya had that too. So good call. All right. Before we get into our feedback questions from the live audience, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor here tonight on the podcast. Those are our friends over at ZipRecruiter. And Steven, you know what's not smart?
Tell me.
What's not being a knowingest know-it-all? It's when job sites overwhelm you with a ton of wrong resumes. The mixture of the incompetent and the overconfident, it's the worst. But you know what's smart? ZipRecruiter.com/survive. Unlike the other job sites, the ZipRecruiter doesn't wait for candidates to find you. ZipRecruiter finds them for you. Much like in the same way that Dan found the hidden immunity idol. Boom, right there. Yeah. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply so you get qualified candidates fast. No more sorting through the wrong resumes. No more waiting for the right candidates to apply. It's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this website. Are you ready? Get a pen. ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, Steven, let's take some questions from our listeners and let's start. What does Caroline have to say?
All right, Caroline Yates wants to know, did Angelina show too many of her cards in pushing so hard for Jeremy? She got the outcome she wanted, but will the other Goliaths perceive her as a strategic threat now?
I don't think, Steven, based on this particular vote, that this is going to be the downfall of Angelina. But based on this small sample size of what her style is playing the game, I think that that is the worst news for Angelina as a player in this game.
That's a great distinction. I really like that, and I think that's right. It's not like she's going to go home next week, but this sort of style is going to cost her in the long run.
Because I think on Survivor, and look, that I'm sure that this is the a great way to handle your business in the working world. Not that I know a ton about that, but it's a direct way to accomplish your tasks and your goals. But Survivor is not exactly real life, because I think that there is getting a lot of people on board and enrolled in what you want to do. And I think that you have to spend a lot more time in getting people on board with that vision of what you want to do and hearing them out and the give and the take, as opposed to being much more direct here in the early stages of the game with so many people on this tribe.
Yeah, exactly. I think you need to convince people. You don't need to, you don't need to lead them, or you don't need to direct them. So I totally agree. It's more about kind of like subtly steering them in your direction rather than really just trying to take the, take the bit and run with it.
Okay.
Is that a metaphor? Anyway.
Take the bait. Yeah. Okay. This is from Nick Knack Knob. Can you guys explain the meaning of having such a distinct Survivor theme, yet also having a swap this early on? What is the point of having this theme in the first place? Well, I don't know.
Gotta have a logo.
You gotta have a logo. You gotta have a name. I actually went back and I had said I was going to do this before the start of the season, but I was listening to a little bit of the Malcolm Gladwell, David versus Goliath. And I think that how Malcolm Gladwell frames it in terms of, what are the advantages that a David is able to beat an opponent who seems superior in a lot of different ways. I think that, in terms of seeing them go one-on-one, it looks like the Goliaths have the advantage. Now we can see them mixed up, and maybe it looks like the Goliaths, they have numbers, they have size. It seems like that there's no way the Davids can pull this off, right?
No, I think they're going to.
Yeah, I mean, they might. But it'll be interesting to see exactly, maybe mixing them up together. I mean, what do you want? What do you want? It's Survivor. They're going to mix up the tribes.
Yeah, yeah. It's really, I mean, we all know at this point that the theme is just a hook and an irritating way to structure the first episode. And then after that, it's not as relevant anymore.
I don't even know if it's irritating.
Yeah, okay.
Arbitrary, perhaps.
It's always a little bit like, you know, those first few things are like, what's a David? Why are you a Goliath? I find that a little bit, you know, I don't need it. I just want to see the tribes mix. I mean, the interesting thing about the theme is always like, how do people end up then kind of defining themselves by the theme? You know, you saw it even this episode with Jeremy saying they're playing like Davids because they're, you know, worrying about their individual fate in the game rather than like the dominant Goliaths we are. So that's the fun stuff to me. But the actual theme itself, like what is a David or what is a Goliath? I don't care.
Yeah. Goliaths don't worry about anything. They're just overconfident. They just assume that everything is going to go great.
And it works out. It works out for them perfectly.
Right. Paige wants to know, how far do you guys think that Mike White will go now that the heat is basically off him from looking from the idol on day one? Let's check in on Mike White, Stephen. Do you have any thoughts on Mike so far?
Yeah, Mike, I mean, really a big target early on. You know, in the first few episodes, he was sort of the other one, right? It was either Mike or Natalie. Mm-hmm. And Mike not even in the conversation, it seemed. So I do think now, especially with the tribe, like no one is going to be worrying about, with the tribe swap, no one's going to really be worrying about Mike. So I definitely think he'll you know, make it to the merge and, you know, maybe could get in there if he gets into the right alliance.
Yeah, I think he settled in well. I think that he navigated something that could have been a very sticky spot for him in terms of Jeremy going home. He could have fought it. He could have really, you know, he could have gone to Jeremy, could have told Jeremy what was up. He could have, stuck his neck out for Jeremy. He didn't do any of those things. He sort of let Jeremy go. And I think that he is positioned well to be able to move on from this.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he's playing, you know, smart game so far that we've seen. You know, we certainly saw him caught up in the first few days' enthusiasm, as many of us have been, and he recovered well.
Okay, let's take this question. What does Mike have to say?
Mike Herms wants to know, hey, do you see this upcoming merge as the opportunity for Natalie to break free and turn her game around? I have high hopes for Natalie. I think she's going deep.
This upcoming merge, what is this, Australian Survivor?
Yeah, everything is a merge. Well, it's a swap. I mean, who's, you know, at this point, who's going for Natalie, right? I think she's like past that, like that dangerous threshold when she's going to be one of the first targets of the game. And now I think she's got smooth sailing.
No, I disagree. I think that she could be in a lot of trouble if now we don't know what the tribes are going to be. So now there's three people gone. So that gets us down to 17, which is an untraditional number to switch things up on, unless we're going to send somebody to Exile Island and go to two tribes of eight. But I think that
Medevac.
Yeah, or medical evacuation, I guess, is possible as well, Stephen. But I think that where Natalie is really going to have an issue, I think, is when the tribes, if they go to three tribes at some point. So I don't know if they'll do that here. I mean, that they've definitely done things where they've had lopsided tribes when they go down to three. But I think if they do something like that, and now all of a sudden she's in a tribe of five and has to compete in every single challenge, I think that that is where Natalie is going to be in a lot of trouble.
Right. If it is a small tribe, then it could be very dangerous for her, especially if they stay that way for a couple of booths.
Yeah. So depending on what the tribe swap is here, if it's two, she could be okay. If it's three, I think that's going to be a bigger problem for her. Adam Ritta wants to know, there's 70 people left. How do we swap those people? That's a great question.
Yeah, that's what we were just talking about. I mean, I think it's possible that we see B go early in the episode. Like, you know, they're really going to drag that
out.
We
could have a medical evacuation early, yeah. Sort of like, did they swap on the episode where Terry went out? I don't remember.
We did.
Yeah. And so if that happens, then that could maybe, they were planning to swap at 16. And if we could lose B early next week, then maybe that sort of, even though it's only episode 4, that could get to the point where they swap to two tribes of eight. Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes some sense out of it.
Okay. David, what does David have to say?
David Villeneuve wants to know, hey, Rob and Steven, could B's injured knee be a blessing in disguise like Tyson's injury in Blood versus Water? Or is she getting a Superman and a fat suit edit and will be out soon?
I don't think it's going to be a blessing in disguise for me.
Yeah, not a blessing in any kind of garb.
Yeah, I don't think so. But I guess we'll see. We'll see. But yeah. The know-it-alls are not high on B's chances moving forward. This is from High Roller Radio. Can we give Natalie full credit for spreading her Natalie napalm and saving herself? If so, what did she do so right? Again, I don't know if there was a ton that she herself did so right, Stephen, other than that she channeled, animosity she had towards the group, towards Jeremy, who happened to be a target that people were looking at.
Yeah, I think there's that. I mean, I do think, you know, you kind of have to give Angelina most of the credit, but I really don't think you can't say that Natalie was irrelevant here in saving herself. You know, I think, you know, like I said before, I think that the fact that she, even last episode, you know, even like for the past few days, has been saying to everybody, why would you take me out? That's so dumb. Like, why would you take out the older person? You know, I'm not a threat. Like, that is laying the groundwork. And even if people don't realize it, even if people to themselves are saying, you know, I'm coming up with this idea on my own, the fact that Natalie's been saying it for a couple of days, like, you know, you have to give her some credit for that.
Yeah, she did make a good case as to it's a waste of a vote here to get rid of me. But I do think that in a way, Jeremy was unlucky that he happened to be sort of the that he aggravated Natalie to the point that, you know, that she was the target, and then also she was then coming for him after all that. Like, if Natalie was really upset with Mike White, for instance, and then Natalie was really, you know, pushing for Mike White to get home, to go home, I don't know how much agency Natalie has in terms of that. Did Angelina pull her aside and say, hey, the vote tonight is going to be Jeremy? Or was that just a coincidence that the person Natalie wanted to go home was Jeremy, and then also the person who Angelina wanted to go home was Jeremy because of what he did with the idol?
Right. It's hard to, it is truly hard to say.
Jeremy's then tell Natalie about the idol. And so it wasn't like that she said, okay, well, now I'm going to pin this on Jeremy because he's out there running his mouth about the idol.
Right. That's true. I mean, it just seemed like Jeremy was kind of,
he was getting it from both sides.
Right. And it is an edited show, right? Ultimately, you know, we are seeing the story of why one person goes home. So we're seeing kind of like all of their moments. Right. So I think that obviously contributes to it too, but you know, sometimes people just, they just spike in the tribe's attention at a given point in time, you know, whether it's because of something they're doing or something that's, you know, just a variety of external forces coming together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jeremy, it's like Mike, you know, Mike out of the gate. Right. And Jeremy just spiked at the wrong time.
Okay. I'll take a couple more questions here with Steven. This is from Como Shepherd. Steven and Rob, I think it's fascinating that last week, the most Goliath of the David tribe was voted out. This week, the most David of the Goliath tribe. Thoughts? Do you agree or disagree with that statement?
I don't know if I'm going to call Jessica the most Goliath of the David tribe. What is that? How is that?
I think it's a saying that Jessica does not look like some sort of a underdog, I don't know. But I disagree with the premise.
And I don't necessarily agree that, I mean, I guess Jeremy was David-ish in the sense of like having to overcome a lot of obstacles. If we can figure out what a David is, these categories are so vague that we can't be, you know, then to be like the most X of Y is basically impossible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Steven,
I will say that Alicia was the most, beauty of the Braun tribe.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for the Ko-Rong update. All right. Steven, what does Chris have to say?
Is Slamtown references getting the fishy? Chris Bragg wants to know. A lot of talk of Slamtown tonight, Rob.
Yeah. Slamtown was everywhere. People are loving Slamtown. It was very fun to hear about. I'm sure we'll talk about it more on the podcast this week. Got a lot of Slamtown voicemail questions, maybe some Slamtown wand offs. Steven, speaking of the fishy, who is getting the fishy tonight?
Well, I am giving it to Angelina, even though I do think that there's a lot of danger in her move. You know, she had a plan, she had a point of view, and she executed it. You can't fault her. You know, she really, really muscled the folks. I wish we'd seen a little more of, I you know, you, like we're saying, we see her in groups a lot. I'm sure she was also having the one-on-one convos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting point about the Fishy, though. So is the Fishy the award for the best performance in this 1 hour of television, or is it in terms of advancing your cause towards winning the game?
You're really fixated on what the logistics Steven, of the Fishy are.
Yes, I'm so sorry for being so interested in what you do. That I think that maybe that speaks to me in terms of like how my brain works. But I just want to know that like what are the criteria of the award?
The Fishy is for the strategic move of the episode.
Of the episode. Okay. That's I'm not.
Sometimes we will take into account the, if it's a transparently bad strategic move, sometimes, but I don't think this was so transparently bad that it's worth, having her Fishy revoked.
I mean, I think that's probably the right call. I don't know where else you would have gone with it unless you wanted to go with Natalie for saving herself. But I think that
Nick did some good work this episode.
I got to be honest, to give it to the person that's didn't go to tribal council. I think that's really grasping at straws.
Well, you do your Sesti every week. We'll see. We'll see if you ever have to like make some exceptions to some like extremely rigid rubric.
Okay. All right. Let's do a couple more questions. But this one is from Brian Williams.
All right. Oh, go ahead.
We've seen it before. Did Jeremy's group discussion do him in on tonight's vote? Has he seen an episode of Survivor? The group conversation is not great. We see on the show Big Brother, Steven, some other people call it a house meeting. That never seems to really go well. The idea of getting the group together to sort of talk about how things are going, yeah, it's dicey.
You know who hates group discussions, Rob?
Who?
Survivor Jeremy Collins. He hated it. Like whenever we would have the whole group sit down and chat about, well, you know, anything, he just thought it was the dumbest thing.
Yeah. I think that they're probably, and we saw Nick earlier this season get the group together. I think if you get the group together and it's about you, I think that might be the time that it's okay to do it. But I think when you get the group together to talk about the group, I don't know how well that is received.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You know,
like and it's an just, announcement about me.
Yeah. Like when people like after the challenge, like they sit everyone down and like, guys, I just want to apologize.
Something like that. Okay. I think that might be okay. But when you get the group together and say, hey, look, you guys are blowing it. We need to get together. Yeah. We need to stop these side conversations. I feel like
it creates like a shared experience that literally the rest of the tribe can talk about. You know, it's creating something for other people to bond with against you.
Yeah. There are a lot of management lessons in this episode of Survivor.
Yeah. Keep people separate and afraid.
That's the move.
To be a good boss, keep your employees terrified and alone. Mm-hmm. All right. Thomas McGee wants to know, RHAP, is it just me or does the Goliath tribe seem a little too cocky, thereby making it really easy to root for the underdog /David tribe? Is this an intentional edit for the sake of this season theme? Hashtag RHAP.
I mean, did you feel like that the Goliath group is coming across as really overconfident, Steven?
Not necessarily. Not like, you know, not crazy overconfident. I mean, we've definitely seen more overconfident tribes.
Yeah. I mean, they've won 2 challenges. I feel like that. I thought it was very fun when they showed up at the challenge and it was, pouring down rain. Everybody seemed like they were in really good spirits. Jeff seemed to feed off that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was great. I mean, the season has been great so far.
I wouldn't be that thrilled.
No. No, and you know what? Probably they probably weren't even that thrilled either.
Yeah, but it's only
when Jeff says, like, you're all having a great time, aren't you?
Like, get back to me on day 29, everybody.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about what's coming up here on Rob Has a Podcast and Rob Has a Website.com and the Rahap Ups. The challenge, Final Reckoning. Steven, have you kept up with the challenge?
Don't spoil me. I'm 3 episodes behind. I don't want this some spoiler here.
Has this been a good season?
Yeah, I love this season. Okay. One of my favorite players of all time, Cam, is on this season. So
Cam! Okay.
Yeah.
Exit interview. Jeremy is going to be on there. Exit interviews, I heard they are canon this season, Steven.
Oh, wow.
So we'll hear what Jeremy has to say about what went on. And then Eric Reichenbach is going to be talking with me within the half hour. We're going to talk with Eric Reichenbach. So excited.
Back to back
and belly to belly. We're going to get into it with Eric Reichenbach. If you have questions and you're listening live, survivor@robswebsite.com. Tyler Fredrickson is going to be here in the studio as well. So get your voicemails in for that show. Excited to catch up with Tyler on Saturday. So you got a few days to do that. And then, oh, look who's going to be on the B&B. It's Kirsten McInnes with Mike and Liana playing some games. So be sure to check out the RHAP B&B this week in our wrap-ups and our Survivor feed. And then David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis, I'm sure, will have a lot to say about why Jeremy lost. Did he not keep his scheming and plotting a secret? It appears to be the case. We'll see what David and Jessica, and they'll give us our final verdict on why blank lost. And of course, thanks so much to the patrons of Rob is a Podcast who make all of this podcasting possible. Got to see so many patrons at our New York City event last week. If you want to become a part of our patron community, see everything that we're offering for our Rob is a Podcast patrons, go check out robhasawebsite.com/patron for more information. All right, Stephen Fishback, great to be back with you here after the episode.
Yeah, this was great. Really great episode, great season, and always great podcasting with you.
Yeah.
Although I miss you. You know, it was really nice doing it in person.
Yeah. I mean, it's we didn't get to spend as much quality time on this one.
Yeah.
All right. Next time around.
Quantity time is what I like, Rob.
You like quantity time, just like time that's okay. That's why we should play Survivor together.
Yeah, that would be... neither of us is ever playing Survivor again, let's be honest.
What about Big Brother?
No, you are the original Big Brother. Should have been so. You know, that, you're that's for you.
All right, maybe Settlers of Catan will.
If there was some other reality show that would cast us together, I would consider that.
If only. All right, Stephen Fishback. Anything else you want to say tonight before we sign off?
No, just
check out Stephen Fishback's blog on people.com, right?
Oh, about that. Yeah. Paul probably posted soon whenever they,
okay. Check ahead and check that out. See Stephen's written word for this episode, number 3 of Survivor David versus Goliath, and follow Stephen Fishback
written word,
on Twitter at Stephen Fishback. And this is something that I learned about Stephen over the summer, that Stephen posts so many golden retriever memes that I never put it together. Stephen Fishback loves golden retrievers.
Yeah, I really love golden retrievers, and I'm trying to kind of like as much as possible make all of my Survivor commentary through golden retriever memes.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Yeah, like some people paint in watercolor, and you give commentary in golden retriever. I love it.
That's my dream. Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes tonight. We'll be back with much more Rob's Podcast. Make sure you subscribe. Robiswebsite.com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
The smartest guys around. We're about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.